Welcome to the 8th episode of Taking Charge of Your Health, KIDE's special health matters series. This week, we're discussing strategies for diminishing diabetes.
There's a worldwide epidemic of diabetes 2, the predominant form of the disease. In the U.S., one-fifth of people over 65 has type 2 diabetes, and almost 10% of the rest of the population has it. 57 million Americans have pre-diabetes.
There is good news, however. Like heart disease, the risk of diabetes can be substantially reduced by small changes in lifestyle.
People with diabetes have higher than normal blood sugar levels. High blood sugar is harmful to all of the arteries in the body. If blood sugar levels remain elevated over time, body organs start to malfunction and die. Heart attacks, strokes, kidney failure, and blindness can result.
High blood sugar is also toxic to nerves and immune cells. It can cause painful, numb extremities, bowel and bladder problems, poor wound healing, and frequent infections, eye problems, and sores on the feet.
The chemistry of diabetes boils down to this. When you eat carbohydrates, protein or fat, the digestive process breaks them down into a simple sugar called glucose. Carbohydrates break down the most quickly because carbohydrates are basically just one long glucose string.
The glucose is then absorbed and carried in the bloodstream to all the cells. Meanwhile, the pancreas monitors the bloodstream. When it senses sugar in the blood, it secretes insulin. The insulin goes to every single cell in the body and attaches to insulin receptors, like a key fitting a lock.
Once cells have insulin attached to these receptors, glucose is allowed to enter. Cells must have sugar to function. Cells that don't get enough glucose send alarm signals to the pancreas to produce more insulin.
In diabetes, the glucose assimilation process breaks down. In type 1 diabetes, the body's immune system attacks the pancreas, which then stops producing insulin. Without no insulin attached to the receptors, the cells become starved for glucose, a very serious condition.
In type 2 diabetes, the insulin is there, but it doesn't attach to the receptors, which means glucose can not enter the cells. Meanwhile, the insulin accumulates in the blood. Initially, this works out okay. The extra insulin eventually enables the cells to get their glucose, but over time, the insulin overload undermines the whole process and it breaks down. The cells get desperate for glucose and signal their distress to the pancreas, which produces more insulin.
The result is chronically high insulin levels, which harm the body in three ways. First, the excess causes blood pressure to rise. Second, it lowers the good protective HDL cholesterol levels.
Third, and this seems really unfair, the insulin goes to receptors on the fat cells. In diabetes 2, muscle and other cells become resistant to insulin, but fat cells are still sensitive to it. So sugar pours into the fat cells. This promotes fat deposits, especially around the waist. This is bad for the heart.
It's insidious, really, because the fat cells start secreting a chemical that makes the muscle cells' insulin receptors even less sensitive.
In other words, it becomes a vicious circle. The pancreas churns out more insulin, which the fat cells grab. The fat cells become fatter and secrete more chemicals that undermine insulin receptors in other cells.
Clearly, it's important to keep your insulin receptors healthy and sensitive. How to do this? First, don't despair if you have a family history of diabetes too. It doesn't mean you're doomed to have it too. Hopefully, it will motivate you to do what you need to do to avoid the disease.
And what you need to do involves three lifestyle changes. These changes will also protect you from heart disease and high blood pressure. Change one, be a lean machine. That means lose weight if you have to and keep yourself trim. Change two, exercise on a regular basis. In addition to all its other benefits, exercise actually improves the sensitivity of insulin receptors.
Change three, eat high fiber, complex carbohydrates combined with protein, and make a point of avoiding refined low fiber carbohydrates that cause dramatic swings in blood sugar levels. Your goal is to keep those levels in a steady, even range.
Above all, avoid processed food. Your body digests them too easily and absorbs the glucose too rapidly. Eat a little protein and fat at each meal to keep your blood sugar from rising and dropping too quickly.
For those of you who have diabetes, it takes work to control blood sugar on a daily basis. But here's the deal. You can control it. Dr. Trevor has a simple list of how to do this. She calls it the ABCs and the double DEFs of diabetes.
A is for hemoglobin, A1C, the measure of your average blood sugar level over the previous 3 months. You want a hemoglobin A1C of less than 7 milligrams per deciliters. Have it checked 2 to 4 times a year.
B is for blood pressure. Aim for less than 130 over 80. The lower, the better.
C is for cholesterol. Aim for less than 100 milligrams per deciliter and have it checked twice a year.
Double D is dental care and diet. We've talked about diet and will continue to do so for the rest of the series. As for dental care, this is especially important for diabetics because high blood sugar can promote plaque buildup in the tiny arteries that feed the gums.
Double E is eyes and exercise. Blood flow in the back of the eyes is reduced in diabetics, so you need a yearly eye exam. And here's why exercise is key. It improves sensitivity to insulin and keeps those extra pounds off.
Double F is for feet and flu vaccine. When you have diabetes, the reduced blood flow and compromised immune system can result in sores on your feet. Check your feet on a regular basis. Report any sores to your doctor. As for flu vaccine, it is recommended because of the lower immunity.
Our diet spotlight this week is fiber. Fibers are present in complex carbohydrates. They have no calories and cannot be digested or absorbed. So, why are they important? It turns out fiber is key to preventing diabetes. Fiber slows down the absorption process, resulting in a steadier blood sugar level.
Fiber is also helpful to the gastrointestinal tract, moving food through the system and forming a mesh in the gut that promotes the growth of healthy bacteria needed for digestion and immune protection.
You need 25 to 30 grams of fiber a day, so you need to pay attention to those labels. Whole grain products have 2 to 5 grams per serving. Vegetables have 2 to 3 grams. Fruits have 2 to 4 grams, and beans 5 to 8 grams.
Keep a tally of how much fiber you eat this week. Eat at least 5 servings of fruits and vegetables per day. Eat them for snacks. Eat more beans, peas, and lentils. Use wheat germs in yogurt or cereal. Switch to whole grains only. Eat brown rice. Replace all-purpose flour with whole grain flour, and ditto for pasta.
Add wheat bran to bread, muffins, or casseroles, roughly 1 tablespoon per serving. You'll be amazed at the difference in how you feel if you start eating this way, and your diabetes risk will plummet.
If you have a copy of the Taking Charge packet, keep working on the resistance exercise on page 16 of the booklet. If you don't have a copy, you can pick it up at the Kim Yurton Memorial Library, the Kamau Diabetes Management Program, the Tribal NF Recreation Office, the Food Distribution Program, and Humboldt Furnishings.
If you're tuning in late to KIDE's Taking Charge of Your Health series, you can find the first 7 programs on our website. For this audio and more information, visit our downloads area at www.kidefm.org. Taking Charge of Your Health is produced and written by Cynthia Potten, engineered by Joseph Orozco. Our readers were Emily Marshall, Jay Renzulli, and Joseph Orozco. Thank you for listening.